Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Okay, real talk. When did paying someone back become social media?
What do you mean?
Like, say I want to see what you're doing and who you're hanging with, and you're not posting about it on your story. I can just stalk your pay app and find out what you're doing.
Oh, yeah, that's weird. You do that?
No, I don't do that. I use Apple Cash. It's built into your iPhone, easy and secure. You can send and receive money right in messages and keep it between friends, and then use that money to buy something at a store with Apple Pay.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Maybe.
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
JLab Audio is personal tech designed for you that fits your life, looks cool, and offers surprisingly awesome value.
Imagine the products and features you actually want and make sure the entire experience of owning them is a great one.
A new legacy in sound. JLab's new luxury over-ear headphones, seamlessly blending innovation and lab quality sound.
Over here at Fake Doctors Real Friends, we love our JLab Audio headphones. They feature over 70 hours of playtime, 4 different colorways to choose from, and 3 noise control modes. Use Real Friends for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
Holy cow. I got so many things to say. I'm so excited about this episode, Zach.
Yeah.
You have no idea. This is a big episode.
This is a very good episode, by the way. Judy came for a good one.
Yeah. Not only is it a big episode, but this is, listen, man, I feel like I didn't know what I had when I had it. You know what I mean? Carla and Turk, oh my gosh. You want to talk about a good relationship on television, and you want to talk about a relationship, especially at the time that we were filming it. I really needed a relationship like that. Granted, I found the woman of my dreams. She lives in the same house as me. She's downstairs right now watching our children. But when I think of Turk and Carla, I think of Carla and you too, Judy, as like an ex of mine, even though it was just work, even though we were working together. It's like I have so many fond memories, and I ruined it, and I spoiled it by the show going off the air. I mean, and then we were no longer together, and I don't see her anymore.
So when you see Judy now, do you have the feeling of like—
I get the vapors.
Like,
as Bismarcky said, I caught the vapors. Oh, my God. When I'm watching Scrubs now, I'm like, oh, my gosh, she's so fine. What was I thinking? What did I do? How did I let that go?
You know, that's okay. Carla always knew it.
Yeah.
What do I have to do to get this guy to see what he has?
Well,
he always, and she always said it, right? Carla always says, like, if only he, when is he going to love me the way he loves JD?
Here's some stories about a show we made. About a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said, here's a story that we all should know. So gather round to hear our Scrubs Rewatch Show with Zach and Donald.
Mm-hmm. So listen, for all of you guys who are listening right now, as you probably
why don't you properly introduce your TV
the
show
amazing
wife.
Is stupendous the right word?
Yeah, stupendous.
Stupendous. We have
fantastic.
The fantastic, the legend that is Judy Reyes on Fake Doctors and Real Friends today. We're so excited about it.
Well,
give it up.
An incredible introduction.
This is where we insert thunderous applause, Judy. You'll
I'm at a loss of words. You have no idea how excited I am that you are here.
I'm excited for you guys. I'm excited for the show. You guys got bumped up to 2 shows a week. I can't even catch up.
Well, we've been having fun. We never thought anyone would really listen. We thought it would be maybe our parents. Donald's mom doesn't even listen.
I don't think she's ever listened to. You know how I know she hasn't listened? You know how I know she hasn't listened? This is how I know she hasn't listened. Because I'll be like, Mom, and I've already said on the podcast, I don't think my mom ever listens to the show, right? Mm-hmm. I was like, Mom, have you listened to the podcast? She's like, yeah, I listen to it all the time. And the way I know that she hasn't is she hasn't called me and been like, I listen to your podcast. She has no idea.
Yeah, isn't that the story of the show?
You know, yes.
It was like, congratulations, but nobody's watched the show until like 20 years later, where now it's like a legend.
Right.
I know.
Television folklore where everybody's like, oh my God, you don't understand. I grew up on your show. And then it's like, wow, okay.
Right. When you hear that, it's like, well, how come y'all didn't show up in the ratings then, if that's the case?
Well, they did in the beginning. I was just looking back. This is back in 2000 when there was no streaming competition and people actually did watch the show. I mean, there were a lot of people watching the show in the beginning, especially, you know, we always joked that we barely survived, that we were always moving around time slots and everything. But this was still like at a time when, Joelle, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think like 11 million people or something were watching these episodes.
Yeah, when we followed when we followed Frasier, we were at 11 or 10 million. But when the season 2 or 3, when we started following Friends, at one point, we had like 27 million people watching our show.
I don't know, but it's just so funny. No one ever gets numbers like that anymore. But back in 2001, you could have 11 million people watch your TV show.
Well, because there were only 3 television networks, right? There was ABC, NBC, CBS,
Fox.
And Fox, and then Showtime and HBO.
Right.
So there were only a certain number of shows that you could watch. And now, you know, like we were saying before, people are actually coming to us and texting us and through social media, letting us know that particularly in these times, that our show literally changed their lives and influenced and affected the choices that they made for a living. And that's really, really moving.
Yeah,
I agree. You're absolutely right. It feels so warm and fuzzy inside when you read your comments and you post a picture of your kids and stuff like that. And they're like, that don't look like Carla.
Yeah, Donald always gets harassed.
I'm always like,
Donald gets harassed.
That don't look like Carla had them kids. That's why I'm always like, wow, that the show hits so hard in so many people that when I post pictures of my family or I post pictures, you know, of us at a holiday, you know, during holiday, the first thing that comes up, that don't look like Carla.
We're Turcat. When I started working in out of state, which is right after Scrubs, where all shows were being shot like in Vancouver or Atlanta or in New Orleans.
So Judy, wait, I was going to say, Donald, if you don't mind, and Judy, we've been asking everyone that comes on the show, all the cast members, their audition story, because I think listeners are, I imagine, interested in that. I hope they're interested in that. But I don't really know yours. I know Donald and Sarah's, so I'd love to hear your story about how the script initially came to you and what your audition process was like.
In New York, you know, I was working. I had done, I'd done like, must have been like my 7th pilot audition. I've done about 6 pilots before this that never got picked up. So by the time I got to this one, I was just like, you know, ready for it not to go as well. But it was such a good pilot. Mm-hmm. And Carla had these 2 great monologues in the pilot. One where I go off right, and one where I go off on Dr. Cox. And I was, you know, I was part of a theater company, and I was just so prepared to just nail it and walk out and get you get a free flight to L.A. You had to stay in a fancy hotel, but the most important thing was to just like work on it really hard and go out, get out of the room feeling good.
Wait, you weren't living in Los Angeles at the
no,
time?
No, I was in New York. I was living in New York.
Was your first audition at 30 Rock or something for Stephen O'Neill?
My first audition was at 30 Rock, and I did really well. And all I just kept getting was this feedback from my manager, Gene Fox. Your manager was
yes. Not at this.
Not during this, but you were
not at this time, but yes, but yeah, we did have the same manager back in the day, yeah.
When we were younger, right? She mostly represented kids, and I always played really young and earlier in my career. But I remember being really excited to get this flight to LA and staying in a fancy hotel and all this stuff. And I remember somebody giving me a note to tell is like, before you start your scene, just take a breath and look at everybody in the room and then start.
Right. So I just, that's good advice.
I really did. And I felt, and there were like, three other women.
Did you know them anyway?
I didn't know anybody. I just remember who was the casting director for that. I knew the casting director because I auditioned him all the time. And I didn't even know any of the actresses, which was strange because all Latina actresses know each other. And I think I was the only one from LA who was flown in. And wow. I felt like I had a really good chance, but I didn't attach myself to anything.
Mm. What scenes did you do? Do you remember what scenes you did from the pilot?
All the scenes that Carla had, which was like the one where I go, he hits on me.
Right.
And the one to Dr. Cox.
Right.
I don't remember any of this stuff.
Don't worry. Dahl and I don't remember anything either.
I watched this episode that we're talking about twice.
Yeah, same here.
Because I remember it. What I remember it is like in the first season, I had this one big episode with you where we go to see to the photography exhibit that's called My Nickname. And I was sure that that's the one we were going to talk about today. Like, wait a minute, we're not doing My Nickname?
No.
No, one day, Judy will get more organized and like book people for the times they have their big episode. But I think you have a really nice arc in this episode.
No, I do. And that's why I watched it. I was like, this is really great. I'm excited to talk about this.
We just wanted to have you on.
But I remember taking that moment and looking at all these people. It was like, in my head, I was like, fuck, there's a lot of people in here. And I looked at all of them. I was like, no pressure, right? And they just fell out laughing, and Bill the loudest. And I felt really relaxed. And they laughed at every single thing I did. And I was like, I'm fine. And I walked to the elevator, and before I got to the elevator, the casting and notes, oh, I wanted to tell you something. Hold on a second. Before they call the other girl in, I was like, you're good. I was like, oh.
Oh, shit.
leaving.
Do you remember if it was Brett or Debbie, one of those two?
Debbie.
Yeah. And she took you aside.
She took me aside at the elevator. I was like, amazing. You're really good. And I was like, oh, I wasn't sure what that meant, but I was like, and by the time I got to the airport, I was like, you got it.
Oh,
wow. That's so awesome.
Oh, my God.
So on your way back, how much did you drink in celebration?
I was like, they were like, do you want a champagne or orange juice? Or I was like, can I have them both in one glass? She's like, a mimosa. I was like, yeah, that's it. Give me one of those. And I was like, you want another one? I was like, yeah, I want another one.
Oh, man. That's amazing.
And then so you had to go back to, well, it was just the pilot. So I guess you weren't planning on moving. You just kind of came out for the pilot then?
Came out for the pilot. And then, you know, by the time we got picked up, it
was okay, like a couple of months later. Do you remember upfront at all?
Didn't I get hammered at
well, we yeah, that's did. What I'm asking. We all did, but that's what I'm asking. Do
I
you remember?
I remember being on a switch.
Yes!
Donald told this story where you were on but it was more than a swing, Judy.
It was like a trapeze type thing.
For some reason, this bar we were in had a trapeze in it, which is really not safe.
I want to swing, and my ex-husband had to take me home.
Yes.
I remember who was the executive tall guy, and he had a snot on his nose, and I was like, you got a booger. And you were like, and Bill was so impressed. It was like, you're the only person I know who would tell like the head of a network that he has booger on his nose. I was like, but wouldn't you want to know that you have booger on your nose?
I love that on one side of that party, Donald's giving Jeff Zucker a noogie. Yeah. On the other side of the party, you're telling another executive he has a booger on his nose. And Bill had told us all, like, guys, do not get too drunk at this party. There's going to be important executives here.
We got wasted. Sarah was wasted.
Wasted. Yeah.
Do you remember such her famous phrase, Judy, at that party? She walked up
you
to Donald.
You guys ever had a Cosmopolitan?
So good. I was like, I want to try one.
She was walking sideways. I just remember. She was like on a diagonal.
I told her, I was like, I like martinis. You know what my friend Richie Petrocelli says about martinis? Martinis are like tits. One's not enough. Three's too many.
Want that on a t-shirt.
Right.
What was your first impression of meeting Donald like? Because you knew he was going to be your love interest. And then did you meet him at the table read thing that we did at Bill's house?
Did I go to the table?
Maybe because you flew in.
So I didn't go.
So where did you meet Donald?
I
on set.
I met him on set.
That's what I told you this story, dude. Like,
well, right, I want to hear it from Judy.
Okay. The story that we had that
makeout scene.
We had the makeout scene.
Right.
And you had smoked cigarettes right before it.
Donald's already complained that you were smoking.
Yes. And of course. Okay.
But since then, we've smoked so many cigarettes together.
We have.
Oh, my gosh.
That was but back what in the I day, do though. Remember is that we had that makeout scene. And I was completely, I felt Donald is Donald. You, what you see is what you get. He's the sweetest, kindest, relaxed, but very professional guy. Right. Right. And I felt very comfortable with Donald. And we had this makeout scene. And I don't think that I'd ever had a kissing scene like that before where, you know, we're just like making out. And I stuck my tongue in his mouth.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. There are,
and then he went and then he went and bragged to everybody.
You did that a lot.
And then Donald started with Judy. Didn't Donald start walking around bragging to everyone like, I got tongue?
But the first time I did it. The first
right.
time.
Yeah,
I did
right away. Right
like
away.
Immediately, but yeah. but he told like the whole fucking thing.
And then he ruined it for 9 years.
For the whole time, the rest of it, the rest of
no,
it.
No, but I should have.
Because I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed. This motherfucker goes, yo, you stuck your tongue in my mouth. She stuck her tongue in my mouth. I was like, I wasn't supposed to do that. I didn't know.
So Donald, you in one moment. You have this beautiful woman. She's giving you a first on-screen kiss.
The chance of a
and then you yeah. you blab about it, and then you never got tongue again, did you?
Well, no, she did it a couple of times. Hold on now.
No,
she,
I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
Liar. You're a liar.
I could show you the episode, because I remember one episode we're making out, and the girl I was dating at the time was like, well, this is awkward. And it was like the scene where we're supposed to be making out and it's supposed to be a wet, sloppery kiss and stuff like that. And JD even says something about that, about our making out after.
Well, because it's scripted.
Right. But you know what?
Wasn't
I did
that,
ruin
wasn't that
it.
Girlfriend? Listen, wasn't that
guys
girlfriend?
Mature slower than girls do. It's just that simple. Women mature
no
faster.
Kidding.
I just remember thinking like, oh, Donald.
I would never rat it out
I
now.
Just remember thinking like, Donald, that's now. Not going to, I just remember thinking like, that's not going to end well, Donald.
No, it did. It didn't end well immediately. No, but I was really embarrassed about it because it just instinctual. I was like, okay.
So before Donald ruined it, it was a good kiss, I imagine.
It was a good kiss. I'm a great kisser.
Oh shit, yeah. Donald, you fucked up.
I did fuck up. I fucked up.
This many years later, you're still pissed about it.
Listen. Like I said, I look back at it now like, what was I thinking, dude? What a dummy.
Listen, the whole crew was like, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I know. What a moron.
It's like that thing in Scrubs where they get the opera singer who goes, mistakes.
Yeah. Or that Kevin right. Sorbo, that Kevin Sorbo story. Have you heard that?
No.
Which one is that one?
You know how they put in parentheses the direction that you're supposed to do, and then underneath it usually is the line?
Yeah, the parenthetical.
Right. And in that it said disappointed, that was like the last thing underneath the line that he has. So like the line was something like, this isn't my world. This isn't my place. And then in that thing, it says disappointed. So he's supposed to say all of this disappointed. And he... it's trying to figure out a way to muster up the disappointment. Now, this is all folklore. This is all, this kid, right. This might not be true. And he's trying to figure out a way to muster it up. And he goes, disappointed!
I love those Hollywood stories where you hear something that some actor said. You have no idea if it's true or not, but they're funny to hear. I know one with Christina Ricci, apparently. She was... I have no idea if this is true, but I heard this story that she was getting all this direction. The director was going into all this elaborate stuff, and she looked at him and said, look, more happy or more sad?
The end of the day, right?
Which when you think about it is pretty great. It was pretty. Let's just break it all down. Do you want it more happy or do you want it more sad?
Right. What do you-
That's very Wednesday of her.
Yeah. I don't want to hear your elaborate. Your direction's so confusing. Do you want me happier or sadder?
But at the end of the day, that's like very Carla and Turk, isn't it? It's like, what are you doing? You just ruined it for the rest of our relationship.
Well, you two had such a great relationship on the show. And I think so many people were genuinely invested in you two, which is just such a testament to how good your chemistry was. And of course, how good both of your performances were.
But just so, so cute also, like just so like Carla and Turk together was like, that's definite relationship goals. For me, like if my relationship is like that, would, you know, it's so much so that it kind of is like that when you really think about it. You know, my wife is the boss of this, you know what I mean? Carla was the boss, you know what I mean? All the way up into how she made the guy ask her out, you know what I mean? She got him to the point where she offered sex to him and he declined, you know what I mean? He declined because he was afraid to ruin the relationship because he saw where it was going, you know what I mean? And that's just so...
Particularly in this episode where Carla fucks up so bad and she goes to Turk, where he's exemplary, more that where Carla talks a lot and she's just strong, but she falls apart and she goes to him and she sees what he does. You know, he walks the walk and she just does what he does at the end of the day, you know, and she sees how strong Turk is as well. And she goes by his example.
Judy, do you think that you, I mean, I'm sure this has come up for you, and I hear it all the time, that you inspired a lot of people to become nurses, which must be a pretty incredible thing, because when I watch the show, especially now back and having some experience in hospitals with sick family members, I'm so aware of the power of the nurses and how the nurses are running the whole show. And to me, when I rewatch this, Carla was just the exemplar of the most amazing nurse there ever was. And I just wonder what your experience of people, men and women, coming up to you and saying you may have inspired them to go into it.
I think that's true. Well, I don't know that the case. I think that people who may have been considering a career in medicine, they got that extra push from seeing a character like Carla and Aloma and a show like Scrubs. Right. Do you know what I mean? And the strength of someone like that and the true power of those people in that profession. Do you know what I mean? Where people find, you know, the glory in the doctors, for example, that they don't know that you cannot have those doctors without the nurses. I remember having that conversation with Bill one time where he wanted to explore the idea of Carla wanting to pursue a career as a doctor. And I was like, no, I wasn't interested in that because it's like, I think Carla loves being a nurse.
Yeah.
And I love, you know, that's where her strength and her power and her vanity and her ego live. And I think that she's really okay with that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And the dynamics of the relationships with her and everyone in the hospital are strongest there, you know what I mean? And that there's nothing wrong with that. And her viewing audience, and for me as a Latina, all these Latinas find strength and well, there's a lot of a huge force with people and women and women of color in particular, and particularly at that time.
I wanted to segue Joelle.
That's a great segue into this episode, actually.
It is, and also I just want to point out Joelle, because she's such a good producer, sent me this statement, sent us this. The Annenberg Inclusion Initiative at the University of Southern California released a study in 2019 that said, quote, Latino actors represented only 3% of lead or co-lead roles in top-performing movies during the last 12 years. This is movies, not TV, but it's the same thing. What impression do you think Carla left on your community? Which I thought was a really smart question that I have to give Joelle credit for.
I think it left a huge impression. I get it all the time. And I think people built on it. A lot of roles were designed on Carla as a result, you know, a lot of strong, sassy roles as a result of that.
But not, you weren't a caricature in any sense.
Not in any sense.
Yeah, I thought it was a testament to the writing.
Absolutely.
And you, obviously.
And I think it's been challenging to find characters and roles that have been as strong and as memorable since. You know, I know it's hard for me to find roles that have been as strong and as memorable since. And for me to find you, just like you were talking in the podcast that I was listening with you guys and Bill, people want like a Faison type of character,
right.
Yeah. You know, but yeah. Built on, because that's the power and the force of a very well-written, very well-acted show, where you're trying to just build on the kind of actor that you are, but move past that is a real challenge because it's hard to find well-written roles. But yeah, and the discussions and the arguments and the debates that you have with the writers to keep it real and keep it honest, keep it flawed, keep it complicated, which is all that Bill and the writers responded to really honestly, you know? And Bill responded to when I said, yeah, let's keep her a nurse because, you know, That's where the challenges in a hospital environment live.
And he was really respectful of your input, I think. Yeah. And all right, we're going to go to commercial because that's what we're supposed to do, Donald.
I thought we were going to go into the episode.
We're going to, but I'm seeing a chat from these producers.
This is like the longest.
Do you ever look at the chat thing?
We're supposed to be talking about the show, though.
I know, bro. But listen, Judy is entertaining as hell, and we're going to go into it.
I'm not saying it's her fault.
Why are you yelling at all of us? It feels like you're mad.
No one's yelling. No one's yelling. I'm just saying the format's all fucked up. We'll be right back.
Man, we got to start using Apple Cash.
Okay, why?
It's so easy and convenient. Apple Cash lives in messages.
All right.
So I can pay you in the convos we're already having, not forget a payment or have the money sitting somewhere just collecting dust.
Oh, that is nice.
And then you can use that cash right away and buy stuff at like a store with Apple Pay.
I don't have to do all the bank transfer stuff?
Nope, it's just right there. It's easy, convenient, and secure.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
See how easy that was? Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC, terms apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
You know that feeling when you just have something you need to get off your chest? It's like a rain cloud following you around in your life.
People all carry around different stressors, big and small. Everyone has stress, but we all handle it differently.
When you keep your emotions bottled up, it can start to affect you negatively.
Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down.
We talk all the time about how much therapy has benefited us.
Therapy isn't just for those who have experienced a major life trauma. Therapy can help everyone with daily challenges with friends, family, and other relationships.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should start with BetterHelp.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/RealFriends today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/RealFriends.
Hey, listeners, it's been over a year since my family switched to our first Helix sleep mattress. And let me tell you, we've never slept better at my house. If you're still sleeping on an old school spring mattress, you're not getting your best night's sleep.
The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including their award-winning Luxe and Ultra Premium Elite collections.
So how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? Take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door, free of charge.
Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress, depending on the model.
Don't want to take my word for it? Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine.
Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/realfriends. That's helixsleep.com/realfriends. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Kind is calling all flavor chasers. Hey, it's Zach here, and Kind has 6 new flavors for whatever you crave.
Is it something sweet? Try the new seeds, fruit, and nuts bars with flavors like dark chocolate, raspberry, and pumpkin seed. They're made with sweet raspberries and cranberries. And the number one ingredient, seeds.
And for something savory, Kind has you covered. Try their roasted nuts and jalapeno bars, or grab the rosemary nuts and sea salt bars. Savory snacking has never been this delicious. I know your mouth is watering. I personally love the raspberry. Donald, let me tell you, I could eat 10 of those a day.
Oh, really? Rosemary's mine. All 6 new bars are gluten-free and have at least 5 grams of protein.
Kind always leads with nutrient-dense ingredients like nuts. Explore all the new flavors waiting for you, like strawberry sunflower seed, orange cranberry pumpkin seed, and paprika nuts and mesquite smoked sea salt. This is the bar for people who love real food.
Try all the new flavors of Kind seeds, fruit and nuts bars, and Kind savory bars. Shop on Amazon today.
We're back.
He's drinking iced tea.
No, Judy, Donald, no, I'm a little worried because we're only like 8 episodes in, and Donald has taken to day drinking.
Only on shoot days.
I have a feeling by the time we get to like episode 20, he's gonna be like hammered, like, and another thing.
He's gonna be screaming by episode 8.
Well,
they'll be like, what? And then.
His shirt will be off. His shirt will be off. Do you remember that time, Judy? We were all at a bar. Like,
oh no!
I won't tell the whole story. But all I know is that Donald got drunk enough so that his shirt was off in the bar, and I just remember
it was
being
an
like,
ice bar too. It was an ice bar. So it's there's a room where you'd go in and it's nothing but ice. And I went in that room shirtless and drank.
No, but you were walking around the park. I mean, this was just hilarious now that I think about it. It was our whole cast and crew, and we were all partying. I don't know if it was a rap thing or whatever, but all of a sudden, I look over, and Donald was drunk enough so that he was, like, having animated discussions without his shirt on in the bar.
The fact that you remember that is impressive.
Oh, I remember it because I did some stupid things, and my then-girlfriend, now-wife, showed up to surprise me. And I was acting a fool at the bar.
Oh, that was so good.
Does she have evidence?
Oh, yeah. It's such a good story, but I don't know if we're allowed to tell that story.
I don't know.
Can you ask Casey if we can have permission? Maybe we'll tell on a later episode.
Yeah, I'll ask her.
Yeah, but in the meantime, just know that Donald got in trouble and also had his shirt off.
Oh, my gosh.
You remember the time Donald got in trouble? That's like every...
That's a lot. That happened a lot.
That's what I'm saying. Every episode where he got drunk and got in trouble and took off.
Oh, my God.
Said part of clothing.
Yeah, and when Donald would, he'd take his clothes off, and then if he got to the next level drunk, he'd leave angrily, and like sometimes he'd leave angrily with no shirt on.
Yeah, right. Yo, dude, oh my God.
That's just Donald the nudist. You need a show.
Right.
He once walked home so mad. We won't go into this story either.
No, we won't go into this one
but
either.
All I'm going to say is that we both lived at the time in the Hollywood Hills, and he once walked home, no shirt on.
From La Brea and Melrose.
Up into the Hollywood Hills. Like, there's no sidewalks. Like, people don't walk where Donald...
Oh, I know. I live in the hills.
This is where Donald walked. And he was power walking, like, arms flying, mad, naked.
Well, I wasn't naked, but I was mad.
Yeah.
Wait, you're really mad? Like, that's a long walk.
Yeah, it's a long story. That's a long story.
Some of these stories we have to censor. Should we get into the episode?
We should totally get into the episode. Let's do it.
I just wanted to say the first thing that I noticed is that Donald's CPR at 48 seconds would not bring anyone back to life. But I just want to say something.
It was a real human being. I'm not allowed to punch on a person's chest like that.
I know. I want to tell the audience that it's a tricky thing to give fake CPR because if you do CPR for real, you can kill someone. So when you watch horrible TV and movie CPR, it sometimes looks like this. But I just wanted to say that I thought you did a particularly bad job.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Oh, let's wasn't the real JD there at the time on set to approve the fake?
I'm sure, but if you look at fake CPR all throughout medical TV shows, there's different techniques. But some people just like completely bend their elbows so none of the pressure goes down on the person's sternum. I don't know what Donald's doing here, but maybe JD had an emergency.
Maybe he was hungover from that power walk.
Yeah.
I don't know why this is a highlight of this podcast today.
I'm just saying next time you do fake CPR in one of your projects, you know, you can do better. I believe in you.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's talk about the holy inferiority complex, Batman. This is one of some people's favorite fantasies.
You know what I wrote down when I saw that?
What? 111.
Batman, Robin, Starsky, and Hutch, Han and Chewie, Han and Luke, Turk and JD.
Oh, you're putting us up there?
I'm saying we are ultimate dynamic duo.
I want to say that, there are certain things that come up all the time in Scrubs fan favorite things. They send us gifts or I see them on the interwebs. And this episode has a few of them, actually. But this Batman holy inferiority complex is one of them, I think.
It's great because then you bump to you to at least you're not Alfred, and then you're in the Alfred kick.
Damn you, sir. That was my best Adam West impersonation ever, too. I don't think I could ever, people are like, do Neil Diamond. I think my Adam West impersonation was better than my Neil Diamond.
It could be worse, Robin.
Your mask is so funny. I just have it frozen on 117, and I know that we weren't allowed to do the exact costume again because it's parody. It like has to have a little twist on it. But your mask is so funny.
It's like Mardi Gras. It's like a Mardi Gras mask.
I don't know what it was. It's like a Mardi Gras.
It's so funny too because those were the days too, whenever we had to do like the Scrubs fantasies or whatever, where we was like, oh, are they doing the fantasy? And everybody would run down from their dressing rooms and come see everybody up and do the costumes and the fantasies. And I'd be like, I was like, when do I get to?
You actually get one, Judy. One thing I noticed, Judy, at 323, correct me if I'm wrong, you weren't often in the fantasies, but this is one because I don't know why, we can talk about that, this was one of the early times where you were in there doing that throwing stars thing.
And I'll tell you, because I was also listening to when I was listening to the Bill podcast, I remember, how Bill always warned us not to go and talk to him about including or getting married because you would get phase-oned. Yeah. And I would be terrified of talking to him about shit like that. It would be like, he would always let me know, and then your character would be carrying the gravitas of the show. And I was like, but I'm funny, goddammit. And I'd be worried about, it's like, how do I talk to this man about the fact that I'm funny and I want like a fantasy and, or I want more jokes and shit, And those would be like, and I would literally sometimes be in my dressing room, like, trying not to cry because I'm about to confront Bill about wanting another joke or wanting this or wanting that, because I wouldn't want to be phase-oned or some shit.
So what would you do? Would you give yourself a bit of a pep talk?
Oh my God. Yeah. And I would like cry in my room before, I'd be pulling like an Elliot in my room. Yeah. I'd freak out,
And was he receptive?
He was receptive.
I have no idea what his reasoning was, but it sounds like, just from hearing you recount it, that Carla was always the base of the reality and the gravitas and the drama. So he didn't want her going into being too silly. But it's funny, in this episode, you do have some funny ass shit, I think.
Totally.
I like the ninja stuff.
That was funny.
Yeah,
that was very funny.
Walking in with your girlfriend, laughing and everything, and then getting caught out there.
Getting busted, which I loved.
I was going to say, I didn't recall, to be honest, I don't recall a lot of, I say this every, I say this every podcast. I don't recall a lot of Scrubs when watching it, but I didn't recall that you and Elliot had such a rocky start. I always thought that you guys had a great relationship. But I do you remember when it switched to where you guys became, was it early on? Because like even in this episode, you're totally dissing her. It seems like it's always that way. She puts her foot in her mouth and you're like, I got to get the hell away from this person. Carla's like, I got to get the hell away.
Well, in the beginning, Sarah was pretty disrespectful to Carla, so I think I would imagine, obviously I want to know your answer, but that my impression was that she was still feeling resentful towards Elliot, right?
I think so. And I think it's more like, she doesn't get it and she never will, you know what I mean? And I think it's JD's impulse always to just like smooth things over and fix things and help other people understand that she's really not, she's just awkward. She's always screwing things up, just like, trying to help people understand or explain people to other people. You know what I mean? And I got no time for this.
Do you recall when it switched over to Carla being that person for Elliot? You know what I mean? Where Carla was making excuses for, oh, this is just the way she is. Did it ever switch over to that? Or was Carla always?
I don't. I mean, I really don't. I know that it happened in this episode. I don't know.
It did, yeah. Well, in this episode, even after you're like, I'm sorry I did that, we all know the truth.
Right.
No, nobody want to hang out with Elliot.
Exactly.
Especially when she's rocking a neckerchief. Did you see that neckerchief?
And the khaki.
I thought that was really funny. That moment, it's around 5:26 or so when you guys are walking into your going out outfits and she's got her khakis and her little like Scooby-Doo, what's that character in Scooby-Doo that has the neckerchief? It was so random.
Like Fred.
That was her going out outfit.
So sanitary.
And then she puts her foot in her mouth with your friend.
Yes.
Because she has a son, right?
Yeah, she has a son who's like really young. And she's like, wow, way to rob the cradle.
Right. I'm gonna be honest with you. I had a lot of issues with this episode as far as stereotypes go. And I know this is the episode about stereotypes and everything like that.
Right.
But there's just so many things that, you know, one of the lines Turk says in the show is like, you know, all my whole life, people always assume that I'm a good athlete, I'm a good athlete. I grew up poor and I love Sanford and Son. Those things are kind of true about me. At the end of the day, I'm a pretty decent athlete. I didn't grow up with a lot of money. And I truly love Sanford and Son.
But it's the obvious exploitation of those things and trying to make money off of that shit. Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. Right. There's a lot of deep things that we talk about in this episode. You know, you touched on it earlier, and that's why I was saying it was such a great segue into this episode. You know, people of color don't go to hospitals or don't go to the doctor. You know what I mean? And it's because they don't see themselves when they go. They see a bunch of other colors when they go. And that can be very scary. You know what I mean? We touch on it in this episode, but I feel like, yeah, I understand why Turk's upset because, you know, his face is plastered and he's being exploited to try and bring a hip new crowd into the hospital and everything like that. But there's something deeper in that. One, I didn't know that Sacred Heart was in the inner city. I had no idea that it was an inner city hospital, one.
You didn't? This whole time?
This whole time.
Hardly any people of color in the hospital.
Right, in the hospital. You know what I mean? Mm. You know, at the end of the day, this was something that really struck home with me. You know, we talk about COVID now and how, you know, people of color are a very high percentage of people that are dying because we have so many underlying conditions and stuff like that. But a lot of that has to do with being afraid to go to the doctor or to the hospital, because when you go there, they're either going to give you bad news or you're going to die. You know what I mean? And I feel like it's so prevalent in this episode. You know what I mean? You know, we talk about it in this episode in a small way, but that's what I took away from this. My takeaway from this was, you know, it's more than just Turk being exploited. It has everything to do with, you know, how can we make healthcare better for people of color? But my first thing was, wow, I wish we truthfully need to figure out this healthcare system when it comes to the stigmatism that people of color have when they go to a hospital. When I finished the episode, I was like, okay, the lesson is nobody wants to be taken advantage of and stand up for yourself and everything like that. I was like, but there's something deeper in that. Also, where the hell did this kid and I get this fucking imaginary football from?
I just started laughing at that too.
To toss like, to each other at the end of the show.
I was laughing at that too. I was like, so wait a second. You were stitching him up in an OR and then all of a sudden there's a football? Was it on the shelf?
Like how did this happen?
By the way, that story's pretty glossed over too. It's like, you got knifed? Yeah.
You got stabbed?
Yeah, you got stabbed in the arm? Yeah. Let's toss a ball.
Let's play football now. You know what I mean? And that's when I was sitting there, I was like, this is some stereotypical bullshit.
Yeah, he got knifed in the arm. And you were then making some joke like, oh, I got this from, what was your joke? Like, my injuries from
a pencil or some shit like that.
Yeah. Anyway, here, Jim, here's a ball.
Yeah, let's play catch.
Let's have a catch in the OR. That wrestling fantasy was pretty funny, I think.
I love that. I'm going to probe you.
I'm going to probe you.
Because I'm the intern.
I was so excited to do that. I liked pro wrestling when I was a kid.
Although, JD Macho Man Savage.
I accidentally freeze framed at 7:06, and I think it might be the most unattractive shot of me in Scrubs history. It was like this wide angle lens, and I'm all up close to it with my giant nose. And
your hair like Shonuff. You had hair like Shonuff from The Last Dragon, too.
By the way, I like my hair like that. I was really enjoying it. I mean, the wig extension, whatever it is, I think that they did a good job because I wish I could rock hair like that. My hair would never do that.
It wouldn't?
No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't be so glorious as
neither
that,
would but, mine.
No, you have beautiful curly hair. I'm looking at it.
Yeah, my
right
hair
now.
Wouldn't be like all straight and shit.
Judy, talk about that bar scene at 8:04. Do you remember shooting that? And it's the when you show up and Sarah's drinking alone. Do you remember shooting that? Or and that woman that you worked with? I don't know her name. I mean, you probably don't remember her name either. But I thought she did a good job.
No, she was super sweet, and I do remember like the whole idea of doing that scene. I just loved the idea of fucking up on someone so badly. you know, and just being so, so uncomfortable around someone that you would
hide under a table.
You know, yeah, hide under a table. Do you know what I mean? And having to like try to find ways to just completely avoid them because you screwed up so badly. And how I'm telling Turk, like, you're such a guy and you don't fucking understand what's going on. And then JD comes and I'm so sorry what I did. And they apologize to each other like nothing happened.
Do you think that that's a what do you think the commentary is there that like men can communicate with each other? I mean, what I laughed at that. But then I was thinking like, well, what is the social commentary there? Just that Turk and JD have such a close relationship and they know how to communicate?
I think so. I think they already apologized to each other, but they want to say, listen, I hope you got me. I'm really sorry for what happened. I didn't mean it. So I know that you didn't mean it. It's cool. You know what I mean? Just right after. And I think she realizes like, shit, I really just have to go confront her, you know, where she's trying to avoid it. I think, you know, these guys, they're such good friends.
Yeah.
That they're not going to do that to their friendship. You know, and he's Turk is looking off and then, you know, we're getting there. And she's looking at him like, you know, go fuck yourself.
And then we did that. There's some sound effect on our fist bump. That's like this angelic noise. That's really funny.
Hit me.
Yeah.
You know, their friendship isn't healed and by no means a friendship. And Aloma. And I love that whole nurse thing with like Aloma being in the JD seeking his fucking evaluation so desperately from Cox.
Yeah.
I think fits into that story so well. He's asking from Aloma and Miss Dr. Cox is there. He's like, can't you see I'm watching my story?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I remember that whole My Stories thing being so hilarious during that episode. That I do remember. And everybody's like quoting it all over the place.
Aloma was so funny. You could just give her anything and she would be
funny. She's just like one line and she's just magical.
Yeah.
She comes and what Carla didn't give Elliot, Laverne gave her, you know, who's what Aloma Wright played so beautifully. Yeah, yeah. She goes, why so sad, Marshmallow? And then she gives her a little hot chocolate for a little marshmallow.
Did marshmallow stick? Did marshmallow
it did.
Stick? It did.
I think it did. Yeah.
Do you think Carla and Nurse Roberts were friends outside of work?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
100%.
Yeah. That story never got told. I want to see I want to see the Nurse Roberts Carla Vegas trip.
Did Aloma ever go with us to Vegas? Did she go with us to Vegas for the rap party?
I don't think so. I think Aloma was. I think Aloma was religious, and she wasn't.
She was like, "I'm staying away from that. Jesus will not be there. I know that."
I think she would have gone. She would have been at the slot machine the whole time, but she would. Yeah.
Do you remember that Vegas trip?
Yeah.
We went twice. Do you know that?
I don't know.
We went for one time we went for like a birthday, and then another time we went for the, am I wrong? I might be wrong.
I don't know. Well, we definitely went for to shoot the thing with the Blue Man Group, and then we stayed and had a party, right?
Yeah.
No, that was the rap party.
Was the rap party and the Blue Man Group thing the same trip?
No.
There were two trips to Vegas.
There were like three or four trips to Vegas, dude.
Oh, God. What a good deal.
Great deal.
That's
another question. When's the last time any of you have been to Vegas?
I don't think it's wise for me to go to Vegas anymore.
Yeah.
I went to Vegas and I think Bill was there. I was like, I've never played poker or I've never played roulette. He said, come on. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. And I played and I beat him and he got pissed.
I remember Bill Lawrence says one of the best quotes about Vegas that I always think about. And he goes, I've never had a good second night in Vegas.
That's the thing.
You got to go and get the fuck out.
And get out.
Get out. Donald, I once went to Vegas with Donald and Judy. I've been to Vegas many times with Donald. But once we were playing blackjack and he got crushed. And he went upstairs and went to sleep. It was like 9:30. Yeah. He was so mad that how badly he got beaten in blackjack that he said,
disappeared.
I'm out. And I don't think you came back out. You went to bed at like 9:30.
Well, I came out the next day. I met you all at the pool the next day.
You had a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
I wanted to say that billboard at 9:58 that Kelso has made was really up So nowadays that would be a visual effect, but back in 2001 they made that billboard, and it was, and I remember it was up for a little while, right, Donald?
Yeah, I didn't realize that the rainbow flag was behind it though.
Well, diversity.
Yeah, but you know what? I thought the diversity was the fact that a white guy and a black guy could work at the same hospital together.
Black guy was gay.
Not that the black guy was gay.
Right. But remember that they took down all the posters in the hospital, but they left the "What's Up" up for a while.
Yeah, for
those were hilarious. By the way, I wish I was, when I was watching this episode, I was going, I wish I had one of those as a souvenir.
Me too.
Time to get an EKG G would be hanging up in my house, dude.
Time to get an EKG G is my favorite one.
Oh my gosh!
I wanted to say that at 10:08 is when you get mad at me. We're in the car about the billboard, and then I do an homage to the movie Vacation where I go, "Roll them up." Do you remember that? Do you remember in the movie Vacation when Chevy Chase is frantically, they end up in a bad neighborhood and they're stealing their hubcaps, and they hear a gunshot and Chevy Chase goes, roll them up.
Roll them up. Roll off the windows. No doubt.
So I just recognize my homage to Vacation there. And then
you also said keep it real. You also said keep it real in the scene where you come, where we apologize to each other.
Yes, after the fist bump.
After the fist bump, you said keep it real. That's a bit of an homage too, I would say.
To Chevy Chase?
No, to Clueless.
Oh, to Clueless, sorry. 10:41, this is the Sanford and Son thing, which is pretty funny. And I laughed out loud when you did it like reluctantly. You did your sad, like I try and get you into the Sanford and Son thing, and then you sort of
I do it because I can't really help it.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's you had this look on your face, is like so reluctant, but you can't help it.
But I can't help it.
Yeah, and then it cuts to that ass slapping dance where we're singing Sanford and Son.
Yes,
dirty. It's just dirty.
That's a special moment in Scrubs history with us both dancing and ass slapping. Bill had referenced you being on the brochure twice when he's on. This is the moment that happens, 11:34.
Now, he said this was a problem that some people got mad about it.
I'm sure people get mad at everything, but I think this was a real story. I think, as I understand, this was taken from a real anecdote where a college had gotten caught putting the same person on the brochure twice. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Hey, listeners, it's been over a year since my family switched to our first Helix sleep mattress. And let me tell you, we've never slept better at my house. If you're still sleeping on an old school spring mattress, you're not getting your best night's sleep.
The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including their award-winning Lux and Ultra Premium Elite collections.
So how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? Take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door, free of charge.
Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress, depending on the model.
Don't want to take my word for it? Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine.
Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/realfriends. That's helixsleep.com/realfriends. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Reboot your credit card with Apple Card, the only credit card designed for iPhone. It gives you up to 3% daily cash back on every purchase.
Plus, Apple Card has no fees, not even hidden ones. Apply for Apple Card now in the wallet app on iPhone.
Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Variable APRs for Apple Card range from 19.24% to 29.49% based on credit worthiness. Rates as of February 1, 2024. Terms and more at applecard.com. Kind is calling all flavor chasers. Hey, it's Zach here, and Kind has 6 new flavors for whatever you crave.
Is it something sweet? Try the new seeds, fruit, and nuts bars with flavors like dark chocolate, raspberry, and pumpkin seed. They're made with sweet raspberries and cranberries. And the number one ingredient, seeds.
And for something savory, Kind has you covered. Try their roasted nuts and jalapeno bars, or grab the rosemary nuts and sea salt bars. Savory snacking has never been this delicious. I know your mouth is watering. I personally love the raspberry. Donald, let me tell you, I could eat 10 of those a day.
Oh, really? Rosemary's mine. All six new bars are gluten-free and have at least 5 grams of protein.
Kind always leads with nutrient-dense ingredients like nuts. Explore all the new flavors waiting for you, like strawberry sunflower seed, orange cranberry pumpkin seed, and paprika nuts and mesquite smoked sea salt. This is the bar for people who love real food.
Try all the new flavors of Kind Seeds, fruit and nuts bars, and Kind Savory bars. Shop on Amazon today.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
And we are back.
So before we have to jump in, before we get started, this is Tiffany. Hi, Tiffany. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Tiffany. How are you?
Oh my God, Tiffany! Wow.
Oh my God.
Sorry.
Hi, Tiffany.
Sorry. No, super, this is beautiful.
Super excited, guys.
Oh. Wait, Joelle, what did you want to say before we want to get all this? What did you want to say?
It is no problem. So this is a surprise for Tiffany's husband. So he does not know that he's about to come on and talk to you guys.
Wow. Hi, Tiffany.
That's really exciting.
Nice of you. That's really nice of you, Tiffany.
So, Tiffany, he has no clue that he's going to speak to the three of us.
No, he has absolutely no idea. Our anniversary is on Friday, 9 years. Well, 9 years married this year. Best anniversary present ever. Never buying anything.
Goodness.
Ever again.
So, Tiffany, what are you going to
tell? Are you also in your closet?
Yes, Faison style, right?
No doubt. I love
and Judy,
it.
And Judy Reyes style, as you can
Judy
see.
Judy Reyes is in her closet, too.
Now, Tiffany, what are you going to tell him? Are you going to say that you guys could get on a Zoom call?
Are you
going to
be like, yo, get your ass in the closet right now. Get in the closet.
No, don't that. He'll be disappointed if he finds out it's us and his wife's luring him to the closet.
Yeah, he has no idea. I had to come up with a very elaborate ruse to try to work all this out. I'm a horrible liar. So he either thinks I'm having some kind of breakdown or hiding something from him. So well, the big reveal is going to be fabulous.
So what's the plan? How do we best reveal?
Yeah, how do you do this?
I don't know. He thinks I'm in the closet right now on an important work phone call. And so I was going to go out there and say, I need tech support. I can't log into the call.
Go do it.
Right now? Are we ready?
Now's the time.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I might cry, guys, and I'm an ugly crier. I, you know, just fair warning, looks like I got hit in the face with a sack of marbles, so.
Don't worry, nobody's going to be able to see you cry.
Donald's going to virtually hug you.
And we're fake doctors, so we're used to,
Yeah, we see lots of fake emotion.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, I'll be right back. Okay,
this is exciting. Good work, Joelle. Good producing, Joelle. This really added a little spice. I'm nervous. Are you guys nervous?
I'm excited.
No.
I don't want him to be disappointed. What if he's like, oh, I thought...
Donald's drunk. He doesn't feel anything.
Yeah,
Donald's... I'm not drunk. Hold on, guys.
I'm fucking...
I've got a nice little buzz going.
Oh, God. Wait.
I'm really...
Why do we have to be quiet?
I'm really stressed out. These are just my coworkers that are from the call.
Hi!
Hey!
Hi!
Hey!
Hey!
We're your coworkers!
Oh my God.
Can you help us with this?
Carla, I mean, I'm sorry.
Can you help us with this?
Judy
Reyes.
Here they can't.
Faison.
Yeah. Happy anniversary!
This is for you.
No.
This is for you?
Yes, come sit down.
Yeah, come sit down.
No.
For you. Come on, come sit down. What?
Join us.
Yeah, this is for you.
Leave your cheese to sour.
Hi.
Do you know what today is? It's your anniversary.
Oh my God, they're crying.
Anniversary.
Oh, you guys can hug.
Happy
now they're hugging you guys.
Yeah, they're hugging.
Joelle's crying. Hi. This is so beautiful.
He seems to be crying.
How did you do this?
Hi.
Your wife called. This is how it went down. Your wife called Disney Studios and was like, "I need a favor," and Disney Studios provided.
That's not true at all.
That's not true at all.
Your amazing wife got you on our podcast, and the three of us, Donald Faison, Judy Reyes, and I, Zach Braff, are your anniversary present.
You can thank iHeartRadio.
Yeah.
You can thank Joelle.
I believe.
And you can thank Dan.
And Tiffany Rodriguez, Donald. Tiffany Rodriguez.
And most importantly, you thank your wife.
Oh.
Do y'all want a hug?
They already did hug. They can hug again. They
virtual
can
hug.
Oh my god. Yay. Oh my god. Do you wanna,
This is so exciting.
Oh my god.
Joelle's crying. Everybody's crying.
I'm not crying.
Well, you will be when
I'm not crying. I'm not gonna cry.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we're so glad that you like our little TV show, and we just wanted to say happy anniversary. And if you wanted to ask us anything or anything, we're here to answer questions. It could be about the show. It could be about your life. Whatever you want.
Oh my god, I feel like Turk when he met Lando. I mean Turk, Chris Turk. Oh my god, Jaden.
Lando, do it, Donald. Give him a little Lando.
Lando Calrissian.
Oh my god.
You know, here's a little trivia. I was doing like a celebration. So Star Wars has a celebration every year, right? And I was doing one of the celebrations because I voiced one of the characters on a Star Wars television show. And somebody told me that Billy Dee Williams was next door and that I should go say hi to him. And I got really excited. I was like, oh, snap. Billy Dee wants to say hi to me? Okay, let me go say hi. So I walked into the room and there's a bunch of people in line and they're waiting to say hi to Billy Dee and take a picture with him. And I walk in and I go, Lando Calrissian! And he jumps and then he looks over at me. And he's like, the line's over there.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. You must have been crushed. He's like your hero.
It broke my heart. It broke my heart.
In your
it
mind.
Broke my heart.
In your mind, you thought he was going to be like,
Donald! Donald!
Well, now, come over here. Come over here, my friend.
Oh, my God.
Anyway. So if you have any questions that you want to ask,
Don't be shy. Tell us, ask us anything.
He's still
shy. Who's your favorite guest star, I guess?
Favorite guest star.
Judy, do you want to go first, since you're our favorite guest ever?
You guys had a lot.
I could tell you the first most shocking guest star, because I'm like Zach, I don't necessarily get starstruck, but I remember the first time, I remember we had Eric Estrada on the show.
Yes.
And he was on you guys remember Eric Estrada from Chips?
Of course.
And I was sitting
for those of you out there who don't remember the show Chips, there was a actor on the show by the name of Eric Estrada who was America's heartthrob back in the day.
Yeah.
Yes, and he wasn't supposed to be the star the guy who was supposed to be the star of the show, who knows, nobody remembers his name.
Yeah,
right.
John.
I don't remember him.
No, that's a character's name. Eric Estrada is the actual name of the dude who played Ponch.
Joelle, can you tell us his name, please? I feel disrespectful
myself, too. But nonetheless, when I came into hair and makeup, and there was Eric Estrada getting his, he was just doing like a real quick guest appearance, and I saw him, I was like, by just standing in the same room with this guy, I couldn't even speak.
Right.
And now I have a big giant. I remember Wayne Brady had a talk show at that time. And I told him that story. And he gave me a giant poster of Eric Estrada that I still have in my garage, of Eric Estrada in like hot pants.
Yeah. Nice. I remember that Eric Estrada wore really tight motorcycle pants.
They all did. The name of the actor was Wilcox.
Larry Wilcox. Yeah.
Larry Wilcox. Yes.
There you go.
My apologies, Larry.
It's all right. You didn't have his name, but we want to make sure we get it out there to respect all members of the Screen Actors Guild. Donald, who is your favorite guest star?
Billy Dee Williams, obviously.
Right.
I really enjoyed when Colin Farrell came on the show.
Right. You were geeked about
that.
I
loved Colin Farrell. I love that scene.
I really liked that.
All of us, men and women, almost made out with him.
Yeah. Sarah really was excited to make out with him.
And then, of course, Brendan Fraser, man. Like,
yes.
Oh, and also Ryan Reynolds.
You're supposed to pick one, Donald. If I have to pick one? The exercise was to pick one, not just start listing off famous people.
Oh. Well, then for me, it would have to be Billy Dee Williams.
For me, it was John Ritter, hands down.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
Because John Ritter, when I was a kid, you'll hear me say this over and over again, my intro to physical comedy was Three's Company. I just thought that was the funniest shit I had ever seen in my life. And John Ritter doing physical comedy was just
he's a master.
He could fall over a couch like no one. And I just thought he was a master. And then so when he came on to play my father, I was just gushing. I was just I loved him so much. And in fact, he was supposed to come back for the second time. Literally, he was going to shoot Monday, and I believe he died that weekend, the weekend
no,
before.
No, the week, he died the...
If not the night before.
No, yeah, he was supposed to come in, and he passed away after they wrapped, or while they were making the show that he was on at the time, and he was going to come and do our show the next day.
Right.
And it's really amazing how quickly Tom Cavanaugh, who was not scheduled to be on the show, showed up to be on the episode, and how they changed it around to make so that John Ritter's character had passed away on the show as well.
Yeah, they had to frantically rewrite it. But that's mine. I mean, I'm literally getting goosebumps as I tell this story. Just and I had him. I have a framed wall in my house of all these framed family pictures, and Donald's on there a few times, of course. And there was literally one of the most prominent pictures was a picture of me and John Ritter, just because he was just so important to me, and I loved him a lot.
I remember when he said my name the first time, and it caught me. It kind of caught me off guard. You know what I mean? I was like, "Holy cow! Wow, John Ritter knows my name." You know what I mean? I, as you did, Zach. I also grew up on Three's Company, and you know what? As much as I love Billy Dee Williams, meeting John Ritter was and Michael J. Fox also were highlights for me.
Yeah. All right. How about another question? Because now that it looks like your face has settled in a little bit, you're not stunned as much anymore.
Right. Your eyes aren't bulging out of your head
anymore, guys. Right. I don't know if I have another question.
Do you have any questions?
Tiffany, how about you?
Would you guys ever consider doing a live taping so that we could go and see you and after all the COVID-19 stuff,
go ahead. If you were gonna say
Donald would want to do that. We just don't know when all of this is gonna go away, you know what I mean? I don't know where you guys are. We're in Los Angeles right now, and we have strict policies in Los Angeles, as we should. We have a lot of COVID patients here, and so I don't know.
Well, even COVID aside, there's no plans to do anything like that. And in fact, you know, Scrubs was shot like a film, not in front of an audience. Although, as you recall, we did that that one sitcom spoof where we did it in front of a live audience. Look, he knows the title. You are good. That was a lot of fun, you know, because Donald had done sitcoms before. I had never done a sitcom.
Judy, had you?
No. I mean, I did a pilot and I did a guest star.
And I had done theater, but it was really fun doing that. Do you guys remember that?
It was a blast.
I just remember thinking like, oh, now I see the allure of doing a sitcom. It's such a high. Like the audience is so amped up. It's like cold and they've got a lot of sugar and they just laugh at whatever you do. It was a well-written episode, so it was genuinely funny. But I remember really thinking like, oh, that could be fun to do.
Are you guys in the medical industry at all? I'm just curious because you're such enormous fans.
Oh, no.
No.
No. I was Army for a little bit, but...
Where do you guys live?
Northern California.
Okay. Patterson. It's right up the 5 on the other side of the Bay Area.
Oh, right, so you guys are in the Bay Area.
No, we could be over in like 5.5 hours if you guys can make us dinner.
Anytime.
What y'all cooking? What y'all cooking tonight?
Tacos.
I love tacos. It's Wednesday.
Leftover.
It's Taco Wednesday over here as well.
Really? You guys, let's head up there. We'll drive in separate cars and we'll sit in your backyard.
Open invitation, guys.
We will maintain safe distancing, I promise you.
Oh my God.
Well,
thank you guys.
Well, thank you so much for what a great surprise.
Thank you guys.
Our pleasure.
For the show and for
happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary. Tiffany, you are a good wife, I got to say. Wow. That was a good surprise.
Yeah, I'm never gonna have to buy anything ever again. I'm just gonna, you know, take a picture of that and, you know, just say, hey, that's it every year. Remember 2020? That's what happened.
Take the picture now. Let's take the picture. Then let me get fresh for you though.
Wait, I got my phone.
Let me get fresh for you.
Is that okay? Can we take the picture?
Of course you can.
Yes, of course.
Okay. Make sure you get Joelle too.
Okay.
And that's how we'll always remember them. Oh, there they are.
Did you get him?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I accidentally did airplane mode.
Should have heard him though. He's like,
he screams.
Oh my God.
Wow. Guys, you were just totally awesome. And thank you for doing this.
It's our pleasure.
watching the show, listening to the podcast. It's just awesome right now.
Thank you. We're having so much fun doing it, and it means a lot to us that, that you're loving listening. And please stay safe up there and enjoy Taco Wednesday.
We'll do that.
Be healthy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
Yeah, you technically are supposed to hang up, but
oh, okay.
You don't have to.
You don't have
accidentally
to.
Accidentally did before.
We can be together forever. I'm going to invite my...
Yeah, I like it, Judy. Let's do that. Rocking the curly hair. I'm a fan.
No, no, but really, hang up now because we got a rest of a show. I'm just kidding.
Okay. Donald's like, no joke. Get the fuck out. No, seriously.
Rodriguez is getting the fuck out. Got it.
No. Love y'all. Thank you.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you.
Bye. Joelle,
oh
good
my
job.
Gosh, that was great.
Joelle, I don't know how a caller can, I mean, you really brought it.
How did you do that?
I don't know how anyone's ever going to compete with that, Joelle.
You know, I wanted to really quickly give some tips. If you guys want to write in a letter, make sure your subject line is just really expressive. That's going to pop out. It's like we have thousands and thousands of letters for people wanting to call in. And so just, you know, whatever you can, put your question in there. If you have a good one, if you have a good story, we'll probably wait till we surprise someone. So don't try to set that up just yet, you know.
In other words, top that, bitches. Yeah.
Well, listen, we should remind people, if you do, even though Joelle says she's getting thousands of them, if you do want to ask a question, you write an email to scrubsiheart@gmail.com. Find a way to stand out. And it'll all be up to Joelle's eyeballs who gets to come on.
Yeah, don't blame me if you call in and if you try to call in or you send an email and you don't get a response.
Yeah.
It's not my fault. You blame Joelle.
You're not going to believe this, but Donald's not the one sifting through the thousands of emails.
Yeah, you blame Joelle.
Yeah, you blame Joelle.
It's her fault.
You got to put some bass in your voice.
Bass in your voice. You ain't going to fall for no banana in the tailpipe.
You're not going to fall for no banana in the tailpipe? I ain't going to fall for no banana in the tailpipe.
This guy too much.
Wait a minute. No banana, no tailpipe? What the fuck?
All right.
So I was going to say something.
Go ahead.
I was going to say something.
Go ahead. Oh, look, you got notes. I'm so impressed.
I always have notes. I always have notes.
Oh, good. I didn't know that you were always rocking notes. I just thought you were making drinks over there in the closet.
No. Boy, oh boy.
Go ahead.
Dr. Kelso calls Turk.
Yeah.
And this Dr. Turk. He calls him Dr. Turk. Now, right, and not Turkleton. So, does this mess up the lore that Kelso doesn't know Turk's last name is Turkleton, and he's just calling him Dr. Turk like he would call Dr. Dorian Dr. He would therefore be calling Dr. Dorian Dr. John? Or did they decide somewhere down the line, this is a good Bill Lawrence question, did they decide somewhere down the line that Kelso just forgot Turk's name altogether?
Okay, we'll ask Bill that here, Joelle. What was the intention? I imagine that someone just missed it and decided it would be funny later on if Kelso had no idea what your name and thought your name was Turkleton, which is very funny.
That's one of the funniest. That's another thing that I really loved. I've been spewing about this, Judy, because I really feel like our relationship is the one. I mean, yeah, they follow JD and Elliot throughout the show, but our relationship from the gate, from the beginning of the show to season 8 is, you know, you watch it grow. And by season 3, when we finally get into the wedding and all of that stuff, I really felt like it was earned by the time we got there. You know what I mean? Like, we had been through so many, the characters had been through so many things. And so, you know, when I look back at all of this stuff, when I look back at me singing Mrs. Jones and, you know, me hiding in your closet at your mom's house. And then when you finally decide to move in and, you know, there's a breakup between Turk and Carla and all of that stuff before they get married, I feel like it's really earned. And I don't necessarily remember how the episode of us getting married turns out, but I just remember it feeling so epic when we were shooting it. You know what I mean? Because all of this stuff that we had been through in the first few seasons were coming to a head at that point. And I just felt like our romance on the show was just, I said it to Bill. I thought it was perfect. You didn't necessarily need to watch the show to understand that Turk and Carla were
they belonged together.
Yeah,
they were strength and the foundation.
Yeah,
a part of that, like, in essence, kind of like the way the episode ends, it's kind of like the reason you belong in this place and the way these people build together like a family. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, you know, they're like that parental force, that place that you belong, the reason that you feel like you go there. You know what I mean? Like, meant to be. You yeah, know, yeah. Despite the fuck ups and the breakups and the ups and the downs, they're funny together. They understand each other. He's silly where she's a little too serious, because you can't have them both be silly at the same time.
Right.
You know what I mean? She's got
she grounds him.
Yeah, she grounds him, and she grounds like a lot of other people. You know what I mean? Where she begs to be light when she's not, you know, she has to like loosen up sometimes, you know what I mean? Where she teaches people about the place that they're in,
right?
You know, where she has to be taken out of there sometimes, kind of like Cox has to be taken out of there sometimes.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's, they pull each other out of where they are and they bring each other to where they have to be.
Yeah.
Speaking of,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. Very much yin and yang. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I remember somebody asking me, you know, well, what do you have in common with your wife? And I was like, well, I don't have that much in common with my wife, to be honest with you. We do love each other passionately and stuff like that. That's the one thing we do have in common, but we're not necessarily the same people. And I think that's very much the same with Chris Turk and Carla. I think that the two of them, they might be both from the inner. I don't even know that Turk is from the inner city. I know Carla's from the inner city. But Turk, in this episode, we discovered that he was always the black dude in the situation. You know what I mean? Even in the science fair where they give him the blue ribbon, even though he didn't compete in the science fair. And also at college, because they weren't a lot of black kids at the college, they put him in the brochure twice. But anyway, my point is their personalities aren't necessarily the same, but they complement each other so well.
Correct.
Yeah. That is like you and Casey. I mean, it's funny you say that because you guys are so perfect together. But yeah, yin yang is the perfect
way completely
to
different.
Way to and put I think it, but so different.
Yeah, I think that's what worked about Carla and Turk. Carla is so serious and Turk's such a fucking goofball. But you put them together and you get like the perfect couple.
I want to just touch on the scene where Johnny C berates me at 1818 in the conference room. I thought Johnny's performance there was really, really good. And it's a really powerful scene. It was an early moment in Scrubs where he's just laying it all out there. There's no score that's sort of forcing your emotions. It was just like him just laying in to me. I thought he was really good there.
I thought he was great in it. And I, you know, I watched it twice, the episode. And I remember what I do remember about the episode and when I saw it initially, it was like, he's just so hard on him. You know, but I'm a parent now.
Yeah.
And I know my husband, who's like coaches soccer, is hard like that. And he's hard like that on my daughter. And I get it. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was like, shit, I get it. You know, yeah. It's like a person who wants approval can be so satisfied with being liked and everybody being okay with, you know, thinking that you're good or being approved by everyone around you, instead of knowing that the job that they're doing is a good job, or you knowing that what you did was well done, instead of people liking you or liking what you did, you know, and that's a really hard place to be when you have to look at yourself. You know what I'm saying? And watching it was like, shit, that was so good. Which Johnny C is like, no one's harder on Johnny C than Johnny Z.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. He really brought it. I mean, I thought, you know, that's a pretty big speech he had. And he just, I don't know, I got goosebumps when I was watching it.
But he's relentless like that.
There's a funny moment in 1949 when Elliot offers to give your friend Valium. I'm like, a doctor's allowed to do that? Like, your friend is upset because her son got stabbed. And Elliot's like, don't worry, we're going to set you up with a Valium and an IV drip. I was like, what? That's a thing?
That, I mean, if it's not, it should be. Because I would need it if my kid got stabbed. I'm going to tell you that right now.
I just didn't know if doctors are allowed to, like, just start throwing around Valium for people that are upset.
Well, with the stuff that's out now, that's like nothing. So I'll give you 2 Xanax and an opiate. You'll be fine.
He's like, I'm worried about you. I'm going to set you up in a room with a Valium and a drip. I was like, really? Go, Elliot.
In an inner city hospital with people like pouring out the doors. But, right. You know, you got a room for you.
That's what's messed up. It's an inner city hospital that so heavily relies on insurance.
It was 20 years ago, Faison.
I'm just saying, this shit is still prevalent. This shit is still real today, yo. I'm just keeping it 100.
At 1958, it may be the very first occurrence of the sad Scrubs cue. Ba ba da ba 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 da ba ba da 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 da. That's the first time I heard it.
Oh, okay. I don't.
For those of you who don't know, this Scrubs cue will go on for a really long time until finally. We started making fun of it so much.
Yeah. That JD starts commenting on the sad Scrubs.
Right. Songs. And it gets taken out of the show because of that.
I think what happened was.
What season does it get taken out?
I don't know. I think the composer
made it like a handful of cues, and then these guys just used the same cues over and over again. There's not that many other, you know, when we don't use music, there's not that many Scrubs cues. It's like bow.
Bow.
That was that would be like a sting when something funny happened. They just go, bow.
After something Robert said. After everything Mash said.
Yeah.
Benign and a half, down.
That's the janitor, benign and a half, Donald.
I thought that was.
Yeah, that's the episode where I have to look at the janitor's. I catch a look at the janitor's penis and I notice that there's a mole on it and then I have to inspect it and I go, it's benign. And he goes, benign and a half.
I thought that was the Todd that said that this whole time. That's hilarious. Oh man. Like I said, I don't remember this show. I was on and I don't remember much about it.
Well, that's the show, guys. That's the episode pretty much.
Yeah.
Judy, Will you come do this more? Because I think we really like having you on. I hope I can speak for my co-host, Donald Faison.
I would love it if you came back again.
I would love to return.
Anytime you want to, we will make that happen.
And Judy, since you are one of my favorite guests to ever be on our little podcast, and also because you have a beautiful voice, I thought you could be the first one to ever count us in to our theme song that ends the show. Donald prefers to go 5, 6, 7, 8. I don't know how you feel. You can count in any way you so choose.
Is 5, 6, 7, 8 okay?
Yeah, Donald, do you want to weigh in on
however you want to do it? It's all right with me.
Is it like 5, 6, 7, 8?
That's pretty good.
That'll work. That could work.
Yeah, okay. But let's do it for real now. Okay, here we go.
That was pretty good.
Okay, but I want to just, Judy Reyes, we love you. Thank you for coming on the podcast. Count us in to our theme song.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Here's some stories about a show we made. About a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said, here's the stories that we all should know. So gather round to hear our Scrubs Rewatch Show with Zach and Dono.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, it's simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. You can learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.